podcast where I interview people who are cooler than me about the art that they make and the art that inspires them. This week's interview is with my friend Alex Suarez. I taped it a couple weeks back at a show of his at the Berks Warehouse. It's always awesome when he comes to Philly, and this was a great show. And so it's sort of noisy, but it's a fun interview. And instead of using recordings of his, I've used my recording of his set that night. So it really gives you like a good feel for him. I feel like it does him justice as an interviewee, and I think that you guys will really be into it. So let's jump right into that.
Yeah. Jones.
Well, I apologize in advance if I sucked being interviewed.
I'm pretty sure you don't. We're like, you know, optimal drunk right
now. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've got this sweet, sweet DJ Jams in the background. We might have whoever plays next in the background. I don't really know who's playing.
I think Dave.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's perfect.
Lighting.
Yeah. We get to see like the hordes of people strolling down the alleyway, looking.
Asking me if it's still lit.
Varying degrees of alternative.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
At least slightly alternative.
Yeah. One can hope.
Introduce yourself for the sake of the podcast.
Alex Suarez. I make music under the name of Cienfuegos. I'm from Miami, Florida.
Okay, so you're giving too much info.
Sorry.
All right, so you're from Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
You're like born there.
Born and raised.
So you like didn't leave until you were, you know.
I didn't.
Adult.
Leave, yeah,
leaving.
Until I was 17 years old.
So, growing up in Miami, like, was your family musical? Was there music in your house?
Absolutely. Yeah, my mom. None of them were musicians, but my mom is like a very musical person. My grandmother as well showed me a lot of and my grandfather showed me a lot of different types of music. My grandfather was more into like what my grandmother would call bar music, which is like Spanish ballads, like very much like country music, lyrical content and like
so
Spanish
like
songs.
Emotional storytelling.
Yeah, like very depressing. My grandmother grew up in a place called Matanzas, which translates to bloodshed, which is very much like, they have a lot of things called rumba, which is like traditional like folk music that mixes like Spanish and African influences, a lot of drums and vocal harmonies. And my mom showed me a lot of American music, like the disco that was coming out of Miami at the time, freestyle, also jazz and Cuban music as well.
So when did you decide that you wanted to make music?
At a pretty young age, I was into it. I was always messing around with stuff. I like probably started picking up guitar kind of seriously when I was like 13 or so, just because I got one at like a flea market with my dad. He like hooked it up and I got one, and I started playing a lot in like different bands around the area. I started playing with like salsa bands and Brazilian bands, and you know, my friends that were making punk and like hardcore stuff, I was playing with them.
What's like the name of a band that you were in at 13, 14?
Oh my god, one of them was like A Bad Idea. It was literally the name of the band. It was so
Sick.
Shitty.
Sick.
It was horrible.
Thank you.
then I was in like in combos and shit, so they were kind of baseless, you know what I mean? They were just like, oh, we need like 5 people to play music at this like spot while people spend their money, so here's some money and like a free meal.
So you were doing like gigging for money at like a pretty young, like you were doing sort of like session musician types.
Yeah, that started when I was like 15 or 16, making money from it. Before it was like a learning experience, and like I had a teacher in high school kind of put me on and like gave me like more gigs so I could get paid from.
So what's the like contrast between, so like playing sort of salsa or like traditional music,
yeah,
and playing punk with friends of yours, like were your friends punks at that point in time? Or
I like always kept like a pretty wide circle of like not random, but just like people that I saw as like interesting and cool people. So there were punks that I was friends with and people that were really into hardcore and stuff like that, and I would go to those shows and kind of be an outsider but still like really enjoy it. Also like hip-hop heads, and like I was like a freak that was like primarily into jazz at that point, and kind of like and that's a lonely place to be in Miami where I was, and you know.
It's a lonely place to be at 15.
Yeah, yeah. It really was, but it was cool. Like I like was just into it. I didn't give a shit, and I think I made friends with people who were like open-minded, that they were like, that's cool that you're into this thing that like isn't necessarily, doesn't get you any social clout. And so I kind of vibed with people that were like of that mentality where it's like, I'm just happy you're interested in something that's like what they perceived as cool, and vice versa.
I feel like the impression that I get, like, and this is pretty limited, like I talked to like Autumn and Casey for the podcast and stuff, I like hadn't really met people from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But like my impression that I get, like, that's like sort of super positive about Miami musically is that because that it's this weird sort of melting pot of a scene musically in a way that a lot of other places, like growing up in Philly, like everything's super niche.
Yeah.
Like there's like I grew up going to punk shows and hip hop shows, and I still didn't experience, there was like this whole sort of like skinheads Antifa thing that
right.
were like having fights with each other at VFWs.
Yeah,
and there
yeah.
was like FSU, and these are all like people who are like technically under the umbrella of punk, and I never even like touched any
right.
of that growing up, even though it was happening at the same time that I was a
yeah.
kid. And in Miami, the impression that I get is there's so much more sort of like crossfading like
absolutely.
Between that. Like, so like,
there's just like less shit going on, less people doing things that are like whatever under the umbrella of alternative. That people kind of are just like, I need to do something tonight, and I'd rather do something with like a bunch of freaks than like do the same thing that I'm used to doing. And there's also just like this like identification with each other. It's like, I know you're into some freaky shit that a lot of people probably aren't gonna get down with, and like people support each other in that way.
Yeah,
which is cool, you know?
No, it seems awesome. I went for the first time like a couple months ago.
Yeah
and like was just like,
it's
so
cool, it's
into
a weird
it as
place,
a place.
Man, it's
yeah
a weird spot. I grew up in like a part of it too that was like prime, like not at all like a part of like the cultural scene necessarily. It's very much like a factory town that's entirely Cuban. Like you essentially can't live there unless you speak Spanish. If you don't speak Spanish, you can't get a job there. So it's like untouched by a lot of like the surrounding gentrifying forces.
Okay, this is sort of jumping ahead, but I remember you saying this to me when I was really drunk. Did somebody comment on your music saying that you had unintelligible language in
yeah,
it because
yeah.
it was Spanish?
Yeah, yeah. I remember talking with Chris about that. Yeah, it was a review on like one of the records. I was like, yeah, the like unintelligible lyrics. And I was like, they're not unintelligible, they're just Spanish, so you don't understand. But I get funny comments like that all the time. my first language was Spanish. And my grandparents, who pretty much raised me in separate households, didn't speak English. And then my grandmother to this day doesn't know English. My mom knows English, my father knows English, but we always grew up speaking Spanish. And like I said, where I grew up, if you didn't speak Spanish, you just couldn't survive. So I speak like a very like street Cuban kind of like dialect. But I also, like, as I got older, started reading a lot more in Spanish and, like, trying to, like, get a better vocabulary and not let it be just slang and, like, things like that, you know?
Well, like, I feel like reading in foreign language, but I guess it, like, doesn't even count as a foreign language for you, but I just feel like reading in other languages is such an interesting way to, like, approach it. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a challenge even for me. Like, it is foreign because, like, even though it was my first language, I speak more English just in school and things like that. So in order to like change, understand the perspective and like grow in that like knowledge of a language and even in the cultural background of it, it like was important to like really challenge myself to read, especially authors that weren't Cuban, because their slang and their vernacular is entirely different. Yeah, it was really important.
So what made you feel like you had to leave?
Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like as a kid was just like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Because, it's, like I said, it's a lonely place, especially if you're into jazz. And, like, I didn't have a car. I had, like, friends who could take me to these things occasionally, but I didn't feel, like, a very close identification with the scene. I kind of just felt like an island on some capacity. So I just, like, I got an opportunity to get out for school to study jazz guitar. I got some money and stuff like that. So I just took it, and I was like, I'll get anywhere. Even though at the time I was already leaning more towards making electronic music and had already started, I was like, all right, I can do this thing. They want to give me money for it, and they want to support me. I'm fucking out of here.
So wait, what was your first encounter sort of with electronic music and with wanting to make it?
Being around like people from my neighborhood who like kind of were like gully dudes who but also had NPCs and like being honest with this. And, like, using it more in, like, a hip-hop capacity and, like, making beats and, like, things, like, of that nature. But that was my introduction to it, and it, like, fascinated me, so I kept on with it and, like, obviously found other music through meeting different types of people that, like, changed my life.
So where'd you go to school? Where'd you get money to go to school?
Ripping it. Sounds like we're in Miami right now. I went to school in Boston, at Berklee College of Music for Jazz.
Went to Berklee? Fuck.
Yeah.
Alright.
I studied jazz performance and composition, which is funny because I was such like a burner at that time that like I felt like I did not play guitar unless it was to like meet whatever requirements, and I was just working on my own music. But the funny thing about that school and that situation is that it didn't matter if your interests changed or if you wanted to do something else, you had to study whatever they chose to give you money for, or else you lose the money, you know? So I couldn't change my major to, like, production or engineering or anything like that would kind of have benefited. But in the long run, I feel like it was good that didn't happen because it forced me to find out.
Thank you.
musically, I just feel like a certain like affinity to, and I always will, and I feel like it translates in like certain like I don't quantize any of the music that I make. It's not like a rigid form, but with like an understanding of rhythm and groove and these things that I got because I was doing that type of music, you can make things that sound like more human, even though they're electronic music. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
totally.
That's how I feel about it. At least it's like a very like it breathes.
I mean, I think that's very applicable to your music and like what I've heard of it. Like that definitely like makes sense contextually.
Yeah.
Are there like? I guess like I want to like backpedal for 1 second and like, what sort of made you as like an early teen be interested in jazz? Because I feel like that's such a hard thing to authentically come to at that age. Like just because your like mind is, I mean, just like as a young teenager for me, like I literally was into like fucking pop punk and Nirvana and shit like that. Like,
I mean, I was into that too. I listened to a lot of hip hop. And I think the reason why jazz struck a chord with me was that listening to hip-hop and then realizing that a lot of the records that I was into were kind of sampled from jazz records, or, like, understanding and affinity of, like, how to like freestyle or rap over something kind of comes from, like, this understanding of, like, soloing or improvising in a jazz realm kind of, like, spoke to me. And also my mom, like, even, it's funny, she's, like, a super Cuban lady. She just, like, likes certain artists and kind of showed me their records, and I was like, damn, I really like this. And then I dug super deep with it, like bebop at that age. I was looking at a good jazz teacher in high school, like right away he was like, oh, you fuck with jazz, and he gave me like bebop stuff, and that to me is like hearing punk for the first time, like
totally away.
It was punk at the time, you know,
like, yeah, it absolutely World
War, like
was. An
answer to like post World War One, World War Two situation, everybody's in the big band and like all these like popped out versions of jazz. And then some people come along and make it completely undanceable and fucking, like, their own. But, like, it's a continuation of a conversation of what came before it. And, like, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Like, really changed my life to hear that shit.
Okay, so you're in Boston. You're at Berklee. Were you performing electronically at that point? Was there a scene in Boston that you sort of became a part of?
I was DJing more than performing. I did not become part of a scene. I was, like, very much, like, lonely and depressed out there.
So
I
you were
friends.
DJing on vinyl, though, like, at that point. Yeah.
Like, at that point, I had inherited a lot of my mom's records, which are, like, there's, like, certain labels out of Miami, like TK Records and things like that, which were disco, early Miami soul type stuff that I inherited and like that I loved, and I would use those to DJs. Plus I was always into Miami bass and like freestyle, which went over well. And yeah, I would DJ that type of stuff all the time. And I like played as well, but mostly like jazz stuff, or like I played in hip hop kind of situations too as a guitar player and like a programmer using MPCs and stuff.
But so you were still feeling sort of isolated?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't feel like I was a part of anything. I felt like an island, and like because of that, it forced me to, like, work on a craft and, like, understand what I do on a different level, because I had to go inward. But, yeah, being in Boston was kind of fun, and so I decided to just get out of there.
Did you go to New York next?
Yeah, I went to, as soon as I found out Miguel, who I've known since I was, like, 13, was going to go to New York, I was like, dude, I gotta move over there. And within, like, I was living with someone who, we were together for a period of time, and we had just broken up, but we were still living together. And I decided, like, all right, we're not going to renew this lease. I have, like, a month to figure this out.
Hell yeah.
And then within a couple weeks, I got a fucking U-Haul and just left and moved here. Or moved to New York, rather. And then was homeless for, like, the first couple months. But it was character building.
So New York was, like, really, like, I feel like the place for you to sort of come into and as an artist, right?
Yeah, I got lucky, too, to just be around the right people. Like, being around Nick and Miguel and all this stuff, like, supportive friends, seeing a scene of people that like I had vaguely been exposed to a certain like experimental noise music and things like that, being able to like just go to shows all the time, be a part of it, meet people that were like the same type of vibe as Miami, where you're into this thing and you're passionate about it, but you're not gonna cool guy me if I don't know about it, and you're gonna like teach me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and like
totally.
Also like we're gonna like grow together because I know shit that they don't know, and vice versa. So that was really cool, and then because of that, it just forced me to like truly like light myself on fire and like grow as a human, and hopefully as an artist too, to just continue to try new things and not be afraid of, I don't know, what would come with it.
So what was your first Sam play instrument?
I played it over the 8, which was a which is like a fucking like bar restaurant for this event, No Tech.
Oh, No Tech.
Yeah, it was like my it was with this dude Jeremy Harris, who like Ripper, you know.
Yeah.
And, Lazy Magnet and all that shit. But he yeah, anyways, I played a set there. It was more more along the lines of dance music, even though it was like very much like warped audio found, like all the percussion was made from like my own sampling, all the rhythm and grooves were based on like essentially like tape loop manipulation, but it was done all through electronic things, you know what I mean, like either an MPC or the computer or whatever.
Right.
And yeah, I played that stuff. There was no vocals in it yet. It was all just I don't know, it was just like kind of stepping out to test what it's like to perform it live. And then I got bored with like performing in that type of style and started to do vocals, and then that kind of pushed it to another level.
Dude, so like where we're at right now, like I mean, do you want to talk about the sort of progression to get there and what you're sort of moving towards?
I don't even like necessarily know what I'm moving towards, but to get there, I mean, the things that I like started listening to that really like affected me, and I started to try and want to like continue in a conversation with these types of things were like Esplendor Geometrico, Two Live Crew, like Miami bass, Spanish industrial, like things of that nature. That combination of sounds, like also Memphis like rap or like Miami rap, things like that that like had informed where I was coming from, as well as like traditional Cuban folk music and like things of that nature.
And do you feel like New York's been like pretty receptive, like people have been pretty receptive?
I think it took a little time, but once, especially once I started like kind of getting vocals and more performative aspects of it down, people were definitely really interested. And also they like were with, once they started to see like what I was trying to do, and maybe even if I talked to some people, like, yeah, like this is what I've been listening to.
Because I feel like you're, like, super different from, like, a ton of what, like, New York sort of experimental electronic music sounds like right now.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, obviously that's, like, a product of who you are and, like, your sort of route to New York. But, like, but it's a place that, like, sort of allows you to do all of that.
Yeah.
So, like, do you feel, like, pretty positive about being a part of that scene and...
Yeah, I mean, the people that I surround myself with, generally, I'm definitely, like, happy to be around, and, like, they're super supportive, and, I don't know, like, I identify with New York as, like, this is my home now, and it allows me to do this, but it's not, like, who I am. Like, I don't necessarily even like being, like, repped as, like, New York, like, a New York artist or, like, a Brooklyn artist, because I don't feel that way at all.
Because you don't sound like one.
I don't identify with it. It's just like where I'm at now, and it won't be where I'm at forever, you know. So like, I don't think it's on some levels it is where you're from or where you live at, and not where you're from that informs where you're. Because you know, I live in a very industrial area of New York, as far as like warehouses and factories and all these things that definitely seep into the music. You know what I mean? In terms of like. What I find is rhythmic and musical comes a lot of the time from just taking walks outside and like I hear something that inspires me, or like even a phrase on like an industrial sign, or it's like, wow, like that makes me think about so many things. So I don't know, it's a tough one, but I definitely am happy to be there, and like the people that are my friends and supportive, I'm like super stoked on it. We all make very different types of music, which is cool, you know, like Miguel and Justin and all those friends.
Alright, plug what's coming next for you, like whatever you've got coming out next.
I'm gonna be on a comp on Lies Records with Nick Klein, Miguel Alvarino, Danny Moore, and Shane English. And it's gonna be, I think, like 2 tracks or so from each of us. I'm really stoked on it, and I just got asked recently by Lies Records to do a full-length LP sometime into early 2017. It'll be done. Which I'm really stoked on, because I haven't done a full-length record.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm so stoked on it. And that's, like, a label I've been very much into even before I lived there. So it was, like, an honor to be asked. And I know he's going to let me stretch out on it. He specifically, Ron Riley said, less of the dancey shit, more of the freaky shit. So I was like immediately like hands in the air, stoked on that.
Prepared to get weird.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, all right, you asked for it, man. You really did.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah,
this is
of
awesome.
Course. Thank you for having me.
I'm happy you're in Philly.
Hell yeah.
Subscribe to podcast and iTunes, Stitcher, any podcasting app. You can email me at tastevampirepodcast.com with interview requests, concerns, music that you'd like to be played in a future episode. Alex hasn't sent me his list yet. His birthday was last week. I think he was in LA this week. He's a very busy man, so you know you'll get that list when you get it, and I'll let you know. Aside from that, let's briefly get into my recommendations for this week. So my first one is William Bysinski's Disintegration Loops. I'm super into it. I've been listening to it a ton. My second recommendation is, sorry, you're hearing Facebook notifications in the background. My second recommendation is Too Much by Braden J. And my third recommendation is Confession XIV by Charles Barabe. And these are all basically sort of directly or indirectly received from this awesome dump of ambient recommendations that I, you know, snooped on Facebook a couple weeks ago. So if you are listening and you recognize your own suggestion, you have good taste. Thank you. And thank you for listening. And until next week, when you will hear from a very destroyed version of me post-Folkfest, I am Rosie, and this has been another episode of Peace Vampire. Thank you.